Good morning. It is Sunday, March 15th, 2026. I'm Melanie D'Souza, and this is The Torque. We are standing at a structural frontier this week. In less than 24 hours at the GTC 2026 conference in San Jose, NVIDIA will officially unveil the Vera Rubin architecture. But to understand the Vera Rubin pivot, you have to look past the GPU. You have to look at the total reconstruction of the global energy grid and a regulatory earthquake in the U.S. housing market that is set to unlock inventory at a velocity we haven't seen in 50 years. Today, we deep dive into the compute mode, the Strait of Hormuz Indian exception, and why permitting arbitrage is the new alpha driver for homebuilders. Let's start with the intelligence core, NVIDIA. The Vera Rubin platform isn't just a faster chip, it's a fundamental shift from a processor-first world to a memory density world. The Rubin GPU integrates HBM4 memory, that's high bandwidth memory, achieving 22 terabytes per second of bandwidth. For our listeners new to the data center stack, HBM4 is like putting a massive library directly inside the brain of the computer. In legacy computing, data has to travel across a bridge, the motherboard, from the RAM to the processor. At the scale of trillion parameter AI, that bridge is a permanent traffic jam. HBM4 stacks memory chips vertically right on the processor die. It is the only way to feed the Rubin GPU fast enough to prevent compute starvation. This memory-on-chip architecture is why Rubin can deliver 50 petaflops of performance, while its predecessors were throttled by the physical speed of the circuit board. By solving this bottleneck, NVIDIA is dropping the cost of AI inference, the actual running of AI models, by an order of magnitude. But density has a physical price, heat. A Vera Rubin cluster draws so much power that air conditioning is physically impossible. This has triggered a mandatory shift to direct-to-chip liquid cooling. Vera Rubin is manufactured using the N3P process, a third-generation 3-nanometer technology from TSMC. Think of a node as the size of the tiny switches or transistors on the chip. N3P is the cutting edge of what physics allows today. By shrinking these switches to the scale of human DNA, NVIDIA can pack 30 billion more transistors into the same space as before, while reducing power leakage by 30%. This manufacturing mode is what keeps competitors years behind. You can't just copy the design. You have to have access to the multi-billion dollar N3P factories in Taiwan. This brings us to the grid masters, Vertiv and Eaton. You'll hear this term throughout today's briefing. CapEx is the money a company spends to buy, maintain, or improve its fixed assets, like data centers. When Microsoft or Google says they are increasing CapEx for AI, they aren't just buying chips, they are building the physical grid, the specialized racks from Vertiv and transformers from Eaton that allow these 1400-watt GPUs to function without melting. For the first time in history, the CapEx spent on cooling is equal to the CapEx spent on compute. Vertiv's early sampling with Vera Rubin system suggests a massive replacement cycle. We are no longer talking about generic data center racks. We are talking about precision thermal synchronization. This creates a high-margin moat for companies like Vertiv that can handle the extreme power density. Meanwhile, Eaton is managing the grid scarcity. A Rubin cluster requires 3x the grid capacity of last year's hardware. In most parts of the U.S., that power simply isn't available at the street level. This power density proxy is transforming industrial stocks into high-growth AI proxies. Now, let's pivot to the global prism. The Strait of Hormuz remains effectively under a de facto Iranian blockade, and Brent crude oil is pushed toward $130 per barrel this morning. Brent crude is the international benchmark for oil. When the Strait of Hormuz, the world's most critical oil choke point, is threatened, Brent prices skyrocket because supply from the Middle East is trapped. However, domestic U.S. oil, known as West Texas Intermediate, or WTI, is decoupled from that specific risk. This creates an arbitrage, a spread where North American producers can sell their domestic, sovereign supply at prices driven by global scarcity. For a company like Diamondback, which produces entirely in the U.S. Permian Basin, every dollar increase in Brent is pure margin expansion without the geopolitical transport risk. This brings us to the Tokyo-Washington Energy Pact. In a stunning move of energy sovereignty, Japan has effectively bypassed the Hormuz risk by signing 20-year contracts with U.S. Permian operators, led by Targa Resources and Diamondback. Targa is the physical bridge. They control the export infrastructure that allows U.S. gas to reach Japan through protected Pacific routes, avoiding the blockade zone entirely. Diamondback, meanwhile, is the low-cost king of the Permian, with break-even prices near $35 per barrel. At $126 Brent, Diamondback's free cash flow generation is structurally accelerating, while the rest of the global energy grid is in a defensive crouch. We also have to watch the Indian escalation. The Indian Navy is now escorting its own carriers through the strait. This fragmented of global security, where every nation must provide its own naval shield, means that global shipping costs will remain structurally higher for the plural year. We are in a world of sovereign logistics, where the winner is the one who controls the physical infrastructure hubs that don't need the strait. This benefits companies like TRGP, which are moving from commodity play to sovereign infrastructure status. Finally, the domestic U.S. economy. On March 13th, the administration signed a series of supply-side executive orders that our analysis suggests will fundamentally rewire the housing market. The headline is Permit 60.
In the U.S. housing market, getting a permit to build a new home can take 12 to 24 months. This is regulatory lag. It forces builders to pay interest on land they can't develop, a cost that is eventually passed to the homebuyer. Permit 60 is a federal mandate that incentivizes local governments to approve or deny permits within 60 days. It effectively slashes the time to revenue for homebuilders by over 80%. This velocity is a more powerful driver of stock price than even interest rates, as it reduces the capital intensity of the entire business. This is a massive tailwind for D.R. Horton. Horton's business model is built on asset turnover. They build fast and sell fast. By bypassing environmental gridlock, specifically the streaming of wetland and stormwater permits, Horton can unlock thousands of units previously held in regulatory limbo. Horton is concentrated in pro-growth Sunbelt regions like Texas and Florida. These are the states most likely to adopt Permit 60 to capture federal discretionary grants. We are expecting a velocity shock in Horton's quarterly earnings. They are no longer fighting interest rates. They are outrunning them through sheer supply-side volume. Furthermore, the January 20th ban on institutional buyers, Wall Street firms buying single-family homes, has removed Horton's primary competition for inventory. It is a retail renaissance in the Sun Belt, and Horton is the apex predator in that ecosystem. By removing the institutional bidding wars, the administration has effectively cleared the path for Horton's high-volume, entry-level product to dominate the market. Let's go deeper into the physical constraints of this AI boom. You can have all the Vera Rubin chips in the world, but if you can't plug them into the wall, they are paperweights. This is where Eaton becomes the most critical asset in the portfolio. A transformer is a device that changes the voltage of electricity. Power from the power plant comes at high voltage for efficiency, but it must be stepped down to run a data center. In 2026, the lead time for a high-voltage industrial transformer has stretched from 6 months to 3 years. If you are building a data center today, your biggest risk isn't the software. It's the physical hardware that connects you to the grid. Eaton is the gatekeeper of this grid scarcity choke point. Their backlog has grown by 400% in the last 18 months, driven entirely by the AI grid upgrade. But there's a second layer, microgrids. Because the public grid cannot keep up with the 3x power requirement of Rubin clusters, hyperscalers are building their own private microgrids on site. This is a sovereign utility play. Eaton's controllers are the brain of these microgrids. They allow a data center to switch between solar, battery, and grid power in milliseconds to maintain the uptime required for agentic AI. We are tracking a structural shift where Eaton is moving from 8% margins to 15% margins as they move into these specialized high-density software-integrated powertrains. It's the industrial equivalent of the NVIDIA software mode. To close out our deep dives, we have to look at the LPG logistics bridge controlled by Targa Resources. This is LPG, liquefied petroleum gas, propane/butane, while LNG is liquefied natural gas, methane. LPG is easier to transport and store, making it the preferred energy source for Japanese industrial residential heating. The critical factor is frigid logistics. LPG must be cooled to extreme temperatures to remain liquid during transit. The specialized vessels and cooling docks required are a multi-billion dollar barrier to entry. Targa's dominance in the Galveston Bay and Gulf Coast export terminals means they control the sovereign exit for U.S. Permian supply. As Japan shifts its industrial base away from the Hormuz risk fuels, Targa's throughput is reaching maximum nameplate capacity. This isn't a commodity trade, it's a regulatory toll road. Targa's contracts with the Japanese government are take or pay, meaning they get paid even if the ships are delayed by naval maneuvers. This provides our portfolio with a high conviction defensive anchor that captures global energy inflation while remaining insulated from the blockade volatility. It's the physical manifestation of the Tokyo-Washington Pact. As we look toward the market open tomorrow, our focus is on professional discipline. We are positioned in three core alpha hubs. The first hub is compute density. We are targeting NVIDIA for the Vera Rubin launch and Vertiv for the cooling mandate. The rationale is simple. You cannot have the chip without the rack. We have established positions in both to capture the total capex flow of the data center upgrade cycle. The second hub is sovereign energy. We are overweight Diamondback Energy and Targa Resources. Diamondback provides us with the raw Permian supply that is currently decoupled from Middle Eastern logistics risk, while Targa provides the physical bridge to the Pacific Alliance. This is our structural hedge against a prolonged blockade in the Strait of Hormuz. The third hub is regulatory velocity. We are playing D.R. Horton for the Permit 60 earthquake. The rationale here is a shift from yield to velocity. By outrunning regulatory timelines, Horton can deliver more houses per dollar of capital than any other builder in the pro-growth Sunbelt. In summary, we are avoiding the global gridlock and focusing on the hubs where the physical constraints of the grid yield to the high conviction rationales of our analysis. We are entering these positions with professional limits to ensure we don't chase the opening retail volatility. I'm Melanie D'Souza. We'll be back tomorrow morning to see how the market reacts to the official Vera Rubin unveiling at GTC 2026. Keep your eye on the grid. This has been The Torque.